Blog Talk Radio.
Because in the end, none of us have very long on this earth. Life is fleeting. And if you're ever distressed, cast your eyes to the summer sky. When the stars are strung across the velvety night, and when a shooting star streaks through the blackness, turning night into day, make a wish. Think of me. Make your life spectacular. I know I did.
And good afternoon. It's Saturday, and this is the Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and myself, Gwen Berry. And boy, that was a shocker last weekend.
Robin Williams, you mean?
Yeah, real shocker.
Mm-hmm. Out with the blast. I mean, I find that these people that are so just tuned in and tapped into something else, they seem to like to go when they want to go. I think of Hunter S. Thompson as well, you know.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of pain with the brilliance. But mm-hmm. The one thing I do know for sure, and we're going to talk a little about the great teacher Terrence McKenna, but one thing I do know for sure, the only thing that lasts on this side and every other side is the love.
Yes.
That goes with you.
Yeah, and the consciousness that you brought with you and touched so many people with, we'll never forget it. That's the love you're talking about as well, but also from a mental standpoint, like remembering and knowing their vibration. And again, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, they're always more powerful on the other side. So they're gone from here, but not gone, ever.
No. And you brought up a great topic today, opening your mind. And one of the time-honored ways to do it is opening the mind. And the indigenous people have always been pretty, you know, they understood that we only have this moment. You know, this is the moment you live in. And one thing that I learned studying McKenna and listening to him was that no matter how far you explore within or without, it's by your own experience, your own personal experience, that you define the world. And that kind of understanding and awareness is simple spiritual awareness. It really is. Nothing else really comes to it. And all of the other stuff is just glitter that falls off. None of it means anything except as a tool to help you go within and discover who you are in the moment. And that's the part, that's the anchor that we really are looking for, you know, through the gurus, through the churches, through the, it's really about your own experience. And that's why so many indigenous and evolved cultures have all these wonderful tools, whether it's a ritual or it's working with plants or whatever it is. But the ones that have something to really offer the human soul is something that puts the deposit within your own experience, you know?
That's the real show me. Mm-hmm. You're showing yourself and you're experiencing it yourself. Not through someone else's lens or what someone else has told you. It's your own personal experience, and you prove or disprove whatever is happening in your own head, and no one can do that for you.
And no matter how much we really try to, that wonderful gift of individuality, our uniqueness unto ourselves, but aware that we are part of the great universal collective, that we are all connected. holding that yin and yang in any given second of time has got to be what true illumination is, in my own opinion.
Yeah, well, you can see it in people's faces. I watched on Netflix, there's a film called Ayahuasca, Vine of the Soul, and you see these different people go through their experience, and you can see also their energy and their face before they start and during it and then afterwards, and every single one of them looks completely different. And one guy really found what he was looking for. He grew up with no religion, no spiritual, nothing. And so he was always kind of searching for what that would be, and used recreational drugs and was kind of bored with them, and then was looking for something else. And so he really, I think his approach, what he was looking for, he definitely found. And you see his whole face is just beaming when he talks about finding the oneness and finding what his connection and how he fits into everything, and his relationship with the plant, ayahuasca. He talks, they all call it a she. And so that transformation, it's like, it's undeniable. You can see when somebody's down and out or up and bright, and that's what they are.
Well, you know, the psychotropic plants, they're important because they do allow us to open the doors that we either can't in the conscious awareness we hold without augmentation. Did I put that right?
I think so. Very fancy.
Well, very fancy, yes. I did that because I was avoiding the word sober because I don't think it applies.
Right.
When we walk through that transcendent door that allows us to dive into ourselves, because basically all of your sensuality is being dampened down, and you are being forced to open through another eye, which is pure mind. And a lot of people, I think we need to be very, very honest about this, very explicitly honest. The ayahuasca drink and experience is not for everybody at all.
Like anything good.
Right. You know, there are some folks who just are not ready for that. And yet ayahuasca is for everybody when you apply it. I use it I've made a homeopathic application, a flower essence of it, if you will, but it's actually an essence of the tea. And it's a homeopathic application. I use it in my mists and all of the goodies I use as tools to help people go within that are plant-based through indigenous cultures. That and psilocybin and peyote, and there's quite a few, and they all have their own avenues of exposure within. I think that's important to note, too. Yeah. You're going to get different avenues of exploration to journey on. But not everybody can do that. I don't know too many people that can't, you know, eat a few psilocybin mushrooms. But
well, Terrence McKenna was talking about that on his address to the Young Society. He said, growing your own mushrooms is a great exercise,
yeah,
and training for actually taking psychotropic drugs, because you need to pay attention to the plant. There's something about timing. There's something about discipline and when to water, when not to water, when to touch it, when not to touch it. And this whole experience of growing the mushrooms, he said those are all the traits that you need to grow something, is the same traits that you need to have a good trip, to be able to go with the flow and commune. It seems the biggest, I don't want to say problem, but I guess hindrance towards having a good trip is when you're fighting against it, and then the plant comes on even stronger, and now you're really in a battle with yourself, and you can never win that, and it can be really just take you down. One woman in the video was going through that. You could see it. She was so sort of tightly wound and like wanting to just be on top of everything and know it and just study it. And boy, she really went through it. But you could see her just fighting with herself. And when she let go and let the people around her, the shaman and the helper, help her through it, you could see when she came out and talked about it, she was like, oh, my God, I never want to do that again. Like, I don't want to go to battle with my ego, because she was really strong and she beat the crap out of herself. So,
no, it is quite true. The doormat through that doorway that ayahuasca provided her, the doormat that she wiped her feet on before going through was fear.
Right.
And so the fear is what will, you know, and that's the great, really, what we're all reaching for is releasing the fear, trusting, allowing life to happen and making choices and understanding that if we can dream it, we can do it.
Yeah, and the control, releasing the control that seems to be fear's, you know,
yeah,
okay, next door neighbor. Trying to make things a certain way and keep things a certain way, and that's like just too tight for the spirit conscious world.
Well, and it really, it's not about trusting the world to wag a different way for you. It's trusting yourself.
Yeah.
And I think McKenna used to talk about that very eloquently. And he would expose the necessity of developing your own experience in this life and having your own spiritual awakening is something that I've always gone that way. I used to wonder years and years ago, because I would get so enlightened by things that I would read and authors and teachers that I would listen to and participate in a workshop or whatever, but I was always sort of a step backwards. In other words, well, that seems good, but I don't think I agree with the rest of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I listened to the Palladians channelings, but I didn't agree with all of it, but I was nevertheless fascinated and found illumination in it. It's like listening to, well, I have to say Abraham is someone I don't usually step back away from, but I just resonate well, you know, with that information, that energy. like I do with some of the Buddhist tenets, the ideas of meditation and TM and the idea of being able to just focus on a given thought that will help me release and find, you know, that place of just being with intention that creates such powerful energy for healing. I think Buddhism and chanting can be very, very helpful with it. But I don't, doesn't mean I've got the rest of the book in my back pocket.
Right. And listening to Alan Watts is like that for me. I mean, he's a Zen Buddhist. And
yeah, I love Watts.
Yeah, listening to him can really take you to other places, because he delves into these realms that most people don't really talk about. So just listening to him, you know, of course, a little wine, a little weed helps, but you can really get onto his train and he can blow your mind. You're just like, wow, man. Like, one of my favorites is him talking about the living life as a bodhisattva. And he talks about the caterpillar that has, 100 legs or arms. And if the caterpillar were to stop and think about how all these arms are working together, it would never be able to take a step. It has to sort of have a knowing, an unknown knowing,
yeah,
that I'm just moving forward with the intention and all my legs are going to do its thing without concentrating on one, because that doesn't work. So,
it's,
you know,
like developing your breath, yeah.
Right.
It's
right.
Auto reflex.
Mm.
only with mind.
Right, exactly. How to relax into it. He was talking about learning to play the piano, and he was so afraid of hitting the wrong note that he was terrible at it. And his teacher said, just relax and forget about the notes. Just play it. So, like, it's that middle ground with your mind, I think, is a good place to go into psychotropics, you know, an openness to what's coming. Maybe you have expectations. I know I would, but to be open to whatever comes. And it's the same thing with the past life regressions. You have to sort of just accept whatever is coming to your mind so that you can really integrate the entire picture that's being given to you.
Yes, I agree. I know I had a lot of stories in my own head that I played out in my own regression work. And then finally some new things began to pop through I had no idea of. And then I realized I was getting some real clarity, some real gifts of time. But with regression, I think many people who have worked to be sensitive and to open their extra sensuality for years, come to a place where they understand that certain dreams and certain experiences in this life have immediate or intimate ties to past life work. And I think you have to trust yourself on those lines. Whether or not anybody else finds them valuable is, you know, who cares?
Yeah. Well, that's the Abraham that I uploaded. You know, I hope we have time to listen to it. It's you should be weird and proud of it.
Always have been, always yeah. Gotten me in trouble, you know.
Good.
But yeah, it really is. It's about youth, and we have all these wonderful traditions culturally, especially through indigenous, like I always go back to the indigenous communities because these are the people who are the closest to the earth. These are the folks who are living, you know, in a reality that is based in their everyday do. Or as my friend Jody would say, you know, her favorite title was Chop Wood, Carry Water. Mm-hmm. Life happens while you're making plans, you know, to do something else. And the spontaneity of that is the key that unlocks our relaxed nature in order to experience what we need. I think it's important to say, too, that as we were talking about psychotropics and their ability to open our mind and open doors for us within, you don't always have to dive into go down to the ayahuasca tea resort, you know? Mm-hmm. You can do this in other ways. There are the subtle or flower essence applications that'll open the doors and ease their way in. And have that imprint in them that will affect you over time and allow you to awaken, which is really kind of a journey that's becomes an experience that is has its own value aside from the, you know, the intricate or the very rapid of taking the tea and going through the trip, you know. When you use subtle influences from these plants on a daily basis with intention, you go through a journey that is really, it gives you a larger palette to paint with. You might not be getting the trippy colors and whatnot, but who knows what you're going to experience in your own vision work through meditation and dream work. I mean, you know, there's two sides to this. You know, there's two avenues to pursue it. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. Because, mm-hmm. like I said, you know, if everybody was walking around on mushrooms out there, well, it might be a better world. It really might be. Especially when you consider all the challenges at this gate, this time point, you know, on the planet with all of these energies that are surrounding us. You listened to the Pele report this week, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
I thought it was great. It's amazing when he said, I'm under pressure. I'm feeling pressure. I was like, oh, interesting, because he's always so, you know, happy. And he had someone say that he's not addressing what's going on with the world, with the wars and the Gaza and all these things. So he really put the astrological microscope onto what's happening and saw it in a bigger picture, you know, through the microscope, the bigger picture.
Microcosm, macrocosm. Yeah.
Right, right. I was going to say with, what's Terrence McKenna's brother's name?
Oh, I forget.
Well, anyway, he was in the movie I was talking about, and he said something about this is ayahuasca is one way and good for people that some people have been looking or just need an awakening into what's going on. They haven't seen anything. They haven't been exposed to any kind of spiritual, even just talk or knowledge, and are looking for something and want to see it right now before they start or as a starting point. And then since most of the people are walking around asleep, I won't say most anymore, but a lot of them, this is one way to really just go, oh, okay, all of this is out here, and now I see what it is. I see what's there, so let's do the work now to get the rest of me up to speed. As opposed to, like you were saying, the slower road, which definitely was my road. I mean, looking and searching and asking and then working with Daughters of Isis for years now was my slow road of getting there. But I see it's just as valuable. And then who knows, if I take ayahuasca now, I think it would be much better for me. I don't think I would be one of those people that knew nothing and just jumped in. That's not really my nature. But now knowing and jumping, yeah, okay, let's do it.
No, I don't think you would be either.
Mm-hmm.
Ayahuasca came along a long time ago when I was in the early 90s when we had the shop open. But before that, I mean, I grew up in South Florida, honey. I'm an old mushroom picker from a long way back, you know. I remember being up in New York, and somebody said, oh, I got mushrooms for you if you want them. And it gave me chocolates that had mushrooms in them. But a mutual friend of ours. And I did one. And I was like, you're kidding me, right?
Why?
I got a little bit of a flutter, but I don't know. Maybe I got so many plant EOs in me and stuff that I got a high tolerance.
I wouldn't be surprised.
The boys had shrooms the other weekend, and they were very nice ones, I guess. But the cost, too, if you're not growing them, if you're having to go out and pay for them or whatever, very expensive. And I'm like, right now, shrooms are growing all over the place out west of here because we've had torrential rains and there's still cows out there, boys. You know,
wow.
There's a lot of psilocybin on the ground.
Wow.
And that's why they're around now, but people are charging like $70 for a couple of mushrooms. It's like,
wow. It's like New York prices.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But all that jibber jabber aside, the point is that these plants are doorways that are here for us. I like the way McKenna quite rightly will put his finger on the old Eden story and explain that the fruit of forbidden knowledge is the psychotropic, which opens the individual to God in the self. And it's like, oh, that's really wonderful. You know, if people could understand the implications of that, you know?
Yeah, that's why I thought the Abraham was good, because it's talking about changing your paradigm or your belief system into what's weird and what's not weird. And everything that society says is not weird or is weird is exactly where you need to find yourself. It's like, so to relax on what other people think or your own judgments or any of these, to get yourself into this place. I think that's a really important place to start, because, you know, all this research and listening to all these things now, I see where a lot of people, if you haven't been exposed to these things that you and I have been into for many, many years, this is, it's a whole new level of thinking about things and getting yourself towards the oneness, which is really the point, right?
Now, is your Abraham recording Abraham Weird?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm just going to play that so the folks can listen with us.
Awesome.
First of all, I never thought I would sit in this seat, because many, many years ago when I came to see you for the first time, I said, oh, I would never do that. Ever. So this is very exciting for me. I have a question about why this takes so long. In 50 years, I've been looking for this information, and after 6 seminars and 10 CDs and 4 books, and I don't know, I've got so much Abraham stuff in my house that people wonder, you know, what kind of a weirdo are you when they come over?
What kind of a weirdo are you?
I'm just as weird as you are. And all these other people are. And I'm just wondering why it takes so long.
Well, you make a really good point, because it's weird to feel good, because it's weird to care about how you feel, because it's weird to recognize that there's a broader part of you, because it's weird to seek your alignment first, because it's weird to be selfish, because it's weird to care how you feel more than anything else, because it's weird. In other words, there are so many false premises that don't serve you, and the premises that do serve you are considered weird. It's weird to recognize that you're source energy. It's weird to realize that you came with a purpose. It's weird to see the value in contrast. It's weird to recognize that you're emanating rockets of desires. It's weird to realize that you have a vibrational escrow. It's weird to even think about law of attraction. It's weird to think that you create your own reality. In other words, so many people around your planet would call all of us weird while they are banging around in misery and false premises. You say. And stuck in your vibration is that. In other words, there's still this feeling that reality is more substantial, and therefore I should face reality and face the facts and tell it like it is and keep telling my same story. Even as you sit here, you're telling your same story a little bit, you see. You just got to get weird enough that you let go of trying to control circumstances. Look what goes on around your world. So many people are really excited about the idea of going to another part of the world that has nothing to do with you and looking at their way of life and calling it inappropriate, and then taking control of what they are doing in order to get them to think like you, as if that could ever happen. Here you are willingly trying to change your beliefs, and your government thinks that it can go to another nation and another culture and get them to change beliefs when their heritage has them lined up in some... Everybody wants to call what other people are doing weird, and what we're wanting you to understand is, until you finally decide that everything that is happening out there in the peanut gallery is really none of your business, and that your business is just closing this gap between who you're being right now as you're thinking and who you've become, until you get into that mindset where the way you feel means everything, and you tune into who you really are, and you begin to see the world through the eyes of Source, then it all begins to make sense, you see. the child that our friend is talking about. How weird is that? How weird is that? That little bugger can't even walk, has no teeth or hair, and is happy? What is the matter with that child? He gets up and falls down and gets up and falls down and gets up and falls down. Can't you learn? You're not going to get it. You just might as well just crawl around on the floor forever. Get up, you little dummy. In other words, you understand with your children. They come in, they're weird, and you know why they're weird? Because they have not yet been conditioned by the bogus habits of thought that bind you. So don't be hard on yourself. It takes a little while to shed the layers of that onion that you've picked up a little bit at a time. In other words, the first time someone looked at you and found you inappropriate in some way and maybe punished you or frowned at you or condemned you, you didn't actually hear them. You just sort of ignored it and went right on with what you were doing. It took quite a bit of someone disapproving of you before their disapproval caused a modification of your behavior. So what happens is so many people have modified their behavior and their feeling of self-awareness and self-value based upon the eyes of others, where all along the only thing that mattered was the relationship between you and who you really are.
You know, that was spot on. And in the same vein, I'd like to play a couple of, about the same amount of time of McKenna.
Cool.
The great evil, in my humble opinion, which haunts our enterprise, and I say this realizing I'm setting the fox among the chickens, the great evil that has been allowed to flourish in the absence of mathematical understanding is relativism. And what is relativism? It's the idea that there is no distinction between shit and shinola. That all ideas are somehow operating on equal footing. So one person is a chaos theorist, another is a follower of the revelations of this or that New Age guru, someone else is channeling information from the Pleiades, and we have been taught that political correctness demands that we treat all these things with equal weight. Because we have no mathematical ability, no logical ability, we don't know how to ask the questions that expose some positions as preposterous, trivial, insulting to the intelligence, and unworthy of repetition. So we all are very comfortable bashing science and flailing away at that, but that isn't our enemy. Science is capable of undertaking its own reformation and critique and has been engaged in that fairly vigorously for some time. The enemy that will really subvert the enterprise of building a world based on clarity is the belief that we cannot point out the pernicious forms of idiocy that flourish in our own community. And this problem is growing worse all the time. I mean, just pick up a copy of Magical Blend or Shaman's Drum, and you will discover an appeal to the level of intellect that makes what's going on with television advertising look like a meeting of the Princeton Institute of Advanced Studies. We have tolerated too many loose heads in our community. We are not willing to take on the karma involved in argument and discourse that actually gores somebody's ox. So that at the end of the day, iridology or Mormonism or some other form of institutionally supported foolishness lies in shreds on the floor. We consider this politically incorrect. I can feel the tension in this room because people sense I might gore their particular talk. If we had learned mathematical logic or reason, or rules of evidence, when someone approaches us excited to inform us that the ruins of Lemuria have been spotted in the deep sea off Big Sur or something like that, we would be able to respond to that with the contempt it deserves. I had a conversation about this recently with someone who, if I had to describe their job category, I would describe them as mafiosa. And I said, what do you think of the abduction phenomenon? And without hesitation, this person said, there are just so many foolish people in the world. And to me, all of these things are intelligence tests. And the people who pass the intelligence test are not worrying about pro bono proctologists from other star systems starting on and on in their bedroom. So, we have perfected politeness. We have perfected the ability to listen to damn foolishness without betraying by so much as the flick of an eyebrow that we realize what we're in the presence of. Now I think it's time to refine our mathematical skills, learn to think straight, and not be afraid to denounce the pernicious forms of foolishness which are vitiating the energy of our community and making us appear marginal and absurd in the discourse about truly transforming society.
That is two sides of a coin.
That's great. Gwen puts up something, I put up something, and it was like a conversation in and of itself, right? That's pretty cool.
Well, I lean more with Abraham, of course, in the conversation. But you cannot, this is the bedrock of the individual experience, and I think that's what McKenna was going for in his larger conversation. You know, when somebody comes up to you and says that the moon is made of green cheese, and I know so because I'm channeling it, you have to question it, don't
yeah.
you? There is a lot of absurdity, and I would bring that into all realms of society right now. And the absurdity is tearing away at humanity at this moment. I would call violence and war absurdities, and I would call, other than the actual disgusting things that they are, but you see where I'm going. So is it absurd to be a creationist who thinks that Jesus walked with dinosaurs, or the absurdity of, you know, the phenomenon of, I have heard some abduction stories that are very credible and need to be scientifically anchored. You follow where I'm going?
Yeah.
Whereas other groups of them are just like, you know, the little people who stand out at Roswell and bang on tin hats. Do you follow?
Right. And to what Terrence was saying, we have no basis to judge these things from. I think now this, all our work with getting in touch with the oneness and seeing the truth, really, which is actually quite simple, even though it's complex to live or to figure out how to do it. But at the end of the day, it's quite simple. And so once you are aligned with that, of course, war is just absurd. And judging other people for their weirdness is just absurd. And judging yourself is just, so you can start to see the patterns of things, and also I think not necessarily to debunk them, because I think the channels from the Pleiades and all the channels that are doing things down to the worst ones, the ones where you're just like, oh, come on, guy, they're living their truth. They wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't their truth, and somebody is getting something from it. And so to allow that, but to know what your truth is and what aligns with you and what makes sense to you, I think we have a good lens to see. especially in this inclusion.
Well, I would say that your lens is more polished than many, okay? Your clarity is more exacting. You require a criteria that many people leave aside because they're glamour. Do you follow where I'm going?
Yeah.
And there are people out there that we both know this. Look, Ray, what's his name, got himself quite rightly put in prison for abusing people in a ceremony. He had no business trying to officiate, which he really wasn't. He was just putting on in Sedona there when people died in the sweat lodge, the Inupi he created. For thousands of dollars, people go and listen to, you know, you got a question. I wrote it on Facebook the other day. I saw this thing where they were talking about an ayahuasca weekend for prosperity. And I said, my God, I don't know whether to laugh or to be depressed, you know? I mean, Christmas. You don't. There are charlatans out there. This is the second oldest profession on the block. And I like to walk with a little bit of science in my back pocket. And,
sure.
And that's just me. I've always been, I am show me, yeah. And the way to show me is, of course, I'm going to have to find it for myself through my own experience. And for me, my show me may be a feather that falls timely from the sky. It might be the confirmation I'm looking for, or it might well be my interpretation of M-string theory to shamanism. Do you follow?
Yes. That marriage of the science and the supernatural or the metaphysical or whatever you want to call the other.
Science. And since McKenna has crossed over, in 20 years, there has been a lot of galloping ahead in really grounding and putting science to a lot of what we consider once considered supernatural. So and we're still working on it. And there are those of us who, experientially speaking, have a groundwork to walk with. It's a truth, as you say, for us. And then you think of the folks who will, you know, turn to you or look to others and to shine a light some direction where they might find their own. And it's a wonderful thing to do if you can say to somebody, well, look, this is my experience. And this is how I accomplished this. And for you, it may be different, but these are the steps that I took, and maybe I found these steps because I studied this indigenous culture, or I applied these rules, or, well, not rules, but these traditions, and it worked for me. It opened up something inside. But, you know, it's like calling the four directions. Who says I got to stand in the east first time out, you know?
Right.
I might be looking to, you know, call spirit first.
And that's listening to your own guidance. That's listening to your own thing and owning whatever your truth is. I mean, again, back to that movie, the guy that had no spiritual training or exposure. He told his, you know, he worked a regular office job, very left-brained, you know, calculation kind of a job. And he told his workmates that he's going on an ayahuasca trip. And they were like, what? But they had a lot of questions. You could see that they were even more like, he's like, well, I don't know, you know. But you can see it in the guy's face. And he was very open, like, with his people. But still obviously felt a little bit like, well, like, as the spirit therapist, I was like, this guy had a conversation with himself before he went to work, and he knew he was doing this documentary, and he was like, well, I'm just going to have to tell them. I'm going to tell them, and I'm just going to own my truth that this is what I'm doing because I believe in it. And that's exactly what he said. And I think just that step, being able to take that step and going, I feel called to this, and I want to see what this is, and that's what I'm doing. You don't like it? Fine. You want to come with me, or you want to do it your own? Fine. But whatever you think or feel are going to do about what I'm doing has nothing to do with the fact that I am aligned with this, and I'm looking for something, and hallelujah.
There you go. I resonate with that.
Yeah, and letting this idea of drugs, in the Terrence McKenna, he said, somebody asked, well, you know, can't you achieve this level of that you get from the psychotropics without the drugs? And Terrence's answer was great. He's like, why would I need to do it without the drugs? If I spontaneously went into the visuals of what happens when I do ayahuasca, I would be very concerned and frightened. And why, you know, he's like, part of it is humbling yourself to the plant and going, yes, plant, teach me what I don't know, this thing that grows. And is the only thing that produces its own food. So, like, the plants run the show. They are self-sufficient. The rest of us need stuff.
I get you. I total agreement with that. I work with them. There is a consciousness that runs through the plant kingdom that enables the plants, the flowers, all to have their own expression, their own conversations with you. And that's how we get flower essences, you know?
Yeah. It reminds me of the first time you had me grind the sweet grass in the coffee grinder. And you were like, okay, do you know how to white light yourself? I was like, well, I think I do. And you said, well, great. Just whatever you see as white lighting, do it and do it well, because otherwise this could take you somewhere and you may not know how to get back. Or it might just be a long, bumpy road back. So just white light yourself. And I was like, whoa, you know, kind of trepidatious, but, you know, excited at the same time. And that was the beginning of knowing I could do it, because I could feel it, but it didn't take me anywhere that I felt I was being pulled in a direction I wasn't enjoying. So, but I could feel the strength of it just being in the ethers, the smoke that comes up from the grinding. So, you know, you got to have a little bit of daring in there. Touch it. Just want to touch it.
It's true. And knowing where the plant is going to take you by knowing the properties of the plant and applying them to emotional attributes and mental attributes, this is important stuff too. This is the old healer, the old, you know, the witch, the wise one in the village who's doing the healing with the plants. I think we're going back there to tell you the truth. You know? Well, it's the pharmaceutical companies have exploited plants in a good way.
Oh, you mean having people deal with it? I thought you meant going back into the plants.
Well, yeah, I do think we are. I think that is what is going to be left to us. A lot of plants that are surviving right now are mutating, and they're mutating for a purpose. They know better what they are doing than we do. Mm-hmm. Science is going to have to catch up, and until science becomes, especially with healing the physical body and working with them, until science begins to apply energy medicine, there's not going to be any consciousness shift within the pharmaceutical industry as long as there's coins being pressed apart. But the plants, naturopathic ways, are working for people right now, whereas antibiotics and several others are not. It's like the young lady who is working with essential oils with Lyme disease up in Connecticut. Yes, of course, the essentials, the EOS will do a lot to heal the body. Working with them in small measures and finding out what they can do for the body with these diseases is right now producing a great deal of surprising, wonderful results.
I mean, it's about time. And people's, obviously, in order to even explore the plant and natural, homeopathic, all these things, there has to be some sort of belief in it and knowing that you want to shift away from the hardcore pharmaceutical drugs. Just that is such a wonderful awakening that you know, more and more people are going towards, wait a minute, our planet is here with plants to heal us because we're the body and we're part of it. So why, you know, cut out the middleman, the pharmaceuticals, go directly to the plant.
Well, if the pharmaceutical industries were in integrity, because you have to remember, the first pharmaceuticals were just pounded down, ground up plants.
Sure.
You know, that's the first pills we ever saw. And that was by, where is it, the Quakers or the Mennonites? They drill holes in wood and pound, you know, the herbs down into them until they were, you know, so they really got pounded into them. I think they put a few drops of something like gum arabic in them or something, but held them together. But this was their supplements. This was, they would eat the plants, the herbs, to keep themselves healthy. And, you know, anybody who's working with plants should have a copy of at least Culpepper's on the desk, you know, so that they understand. And the other thing is that plants are very cyclic, just like we are and just like the planet is. There's times to pick them. There's times to grow them. You know, pardon me. These arts are being reforged today with, the open culture, the Terra culture platforms that like Starhawk is teaching, knowing when to plant a plant for the community and medicinal properties and all, this is becoming something that communities are doing so that they might have what they need when they need it, of course. Like,
and that just the act of planting a plant and getting in touch with a plant and learning about a plant and what can you grow and how does it work, what does it need, those things are, you know, if you're thinking about taking any kind of psychotropics, that's a wonderful place to start. I mean, I've learned so much about what plants and I don't get along, and no matter what I do, I, you know, our energies don't mix. Like, what are those beautiful ones? That the Asian, the pretty flower, not the lilies. Anyway, it's something that's just way too feminine. But Basil and I, we can hang, and I seem to understand it. I know when it needs water. I know when it, I've gotten to know them. And then other plants, like the aloe plant, very different from the basil. Basil's all about water, and I need these things, and I will show you immediately what's happening. Whereas the aloe takes a little bit, and, you know, and in the city, you see what the plant, sometimes the plants get a little gray, and that's either telling you, well, this may not be the best place. It may really need to be in the ground, or maybe it needs some plant food, or maybe you need to adjust some things. Like, I gave some plant food to the aloe that was getting kind of gray, and within a day, it was like, ah, green, amazing. So that's a conversation right there.
Sure is. Did they tell you anything about air quality?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of smoke in my house, and so all the plants have to be down for, you know, converting things. But, I've had these same plants for years now, and the fact that my sage and my basil survive winters tells you something.
There you go. You've been growing sage that long? My gosh, I can never get sage to grow, but I work with it, so many different varieties of it, and it is one of my favorites, sweetgrass and sage.
Wow.
Mine is, of course, American, the Artemisia. The Artemisias, the European and American Artemisias, they're a sage, but they're mugwort.
Sassy.
I can't get it to grow. Well, I'm in South Florida, remember. I'm in the tropics. My sister grows very well. I have a very green house with a lot of plants, but it's not the same as, you know, growing a full-on garden, which is very difficult down here in this weather. But
yeah, I think you need to learn to deal with your surroundings and your own energy. Like the fact that, you know, some people in the same place can grow these plants, but you and this plant, no, no, no. Or yes, yes, yes. You know, you guys are friends. So
yeah, but I can walk around the neighborhood and I can harvest flowers, plants. I use jasmine, dried jasmine leaves now in some of my bath truffles and things, and I go over and pick it, and, you know, and I cut it, and I hang it to dry right here in the house and stuff, so, yeah.
Wow.
Listen, we're at the end of the hour.
Awesome.
And I would ask you to let us know what's going to be on Monday night's show.
I think we're going to talk about meditation, because I've been doing the 21-day meditation with Deepak Chopra and Oprah.
Yeah.
And I'm finding some interesting things about using a mantra that I usually don't do in my own meditation. So looking at, you know, different ways of how you can get in your meditation and what's far enough, like what other directions you can go in, something like that.
Very cool. Very cool.
Thanks.
So that would be Spirit Therapy at 7 p.m. Monday on Here Be Monsters with Nicole Tomasini. And please don't forget that tomorrow, well, we have such wide and varied audiences. Tomorrow is the Sunday show with myself, Jack Jodell, and Wayne Johnson. We're going to be talking about Mike Brown. Anybody in the country right now who doesn't know who Mike Brown is not paying attention. Mike Brown was the young man shot in Missouri and what all the hubbub in Ferguson is about, but it's getting international attention. I wish they had better leadership down there in the community and a voice that was, you know, coming out of it singularly to talk to the community and to talk to the world for the community.
Something to manifest.
Yes, something positive. So we have that. And don't forget on Friday evenings, Wise Woman Media with Anita Stewart. She's had some wonderful guests on lately. I can't think of any other announcements.
I think that's it. I would say to also listen to that Pele report, Tom Lesher, because it really puts a lot of things into perspective. And just from a spirit therapy standpoint, if you're getting a little antsy or feeling a little off your game or balance is hard to come by, to understand the astrology that's going on and that we got a lot of big planets, like five of them in one dance, as well as what's happening in the world and the strife. So, you know, to understand that it's not just you, it's everything. So that seems to give me some nice perspective to go, okay, it's okay. There's a lot happening here. We're dissolving war, you know, just breathe, breathe. So that would be my final thought.
Very true. Very true. Okay. Well, I guess that's it for this week. I want to thank people in our chat for listening in, and you're always appreciated. Remember, if you ever want to call in, we're happy to take your calls. Until next Saturday at 3 p.m., I'm Gwen Berry with Nicole Tomasini, and this has been The Consciousness Shift. Have a very peaceful week, or at least think peace.
There you go.